diyorsun. It's so good to see you this morning. The message I'm going to share with you this morning is a message that I have, a topic I have never spoken to or on before. And with that being said, I simply want to ask you to please stay with me. Hear the word from the word of God and from others as I quote them. I'm very aware that the topic I'm going to talk about is controversial. I'm very aware of that. And I've titled today's message, Counterfeit Truth. Most of you are as aware as I am that Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. If we ever want to be part of God's kingdom, it's only going to be through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. The part I want to emphasize this morning is he said, I am the truth. There's a counterfeit truth out there. We have an adversary. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But I want us to understand, if we understand nothing else today, Jesus is the truth. We're in a very different time in America. You know it and I know it. What do you mean, Jim? Wrong seems to be promoted as right, and right seems to be labeled as wrong. Evil seems to be good, and good seems to be called evil. And so we're in this battle, we're in this struggle in America. What's right and what's wrong? Friends, let me just say again, this describes that for us. What's right and what's wrong? And you might say, when I say wrong seems to be promoted as right, you might say, well, wrong according to who? Wrong according to this. Jesus said, I am the truth. There's a counterfeit truth out there. Let me establish a couple things before I go any further on that thought. If you got your Bible, turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. If you know anything about Ezekiel, Ezekiel is actually a captive now in Babylon. He's been carried away, one of the carryings from Jerusalem and Judah to Babylon. He's a captive along with a whole bunch of other Jews. And God comes to him over and over and over in the book of Ezekiel. I love the book. He says, son of man, I got a word for you I want you to give to somebody. Or he gives him a vision or whatever. And so you go through the whole book like that, and you get to Ezekiel chapter 28, and it begins the same when it says, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord. That happened over and over and over in the book of Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord. The difference in this particular paragraph is it seems like it's addressed to the king of Tyre, but this little address has a twofold meaning. Listen very closely, and I'll explain it when I get through it. And I'm just going to establish a point here. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord. Now look at what he says. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub. Starts to give one the sense we're not just talking about a man here. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I, God said, establish you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the stones. You were perfect in your ways. Some of your translations actually use the word sinless. From the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was filled or lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you, said Ezekiel, said God to Ezekiel. You say, Jim, what's up with the Ezekiel passage? Most commentators, not all, but most commentators, I happen to be in this agreement category, agree this scripture is not just about a man. There's too many things in here. In the garden of God, seal of perfection. You were in Eden. You were the anointed cherub. You were on the holy mountain of God. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Most commentators agree this scripture is talking about Lucifer. When you read all through scripture, you hear about angels, this and that, but there's only three angels that are named: Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. And Lucifer has been assigned that important position by God way back, where we see here he was beautiful in appearance. He had this importance, and he got proud. And God says that you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. Most commentators agree this scripture is not just about the king of Tyre, but about Lucifer. You say, okay, Jim, what's the point? Hang on, I'm going to get to the point. Luke 10:18. Pop that one up there. Thank you, Kristen. Jesus is speaking in Luke 10:18, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Which goes right along with what Ezekiel said. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. John 10:10, Kristen. For everyone to see. You can look it up in your Bibles too. Jesus is speaking again. This is the chapter he's called himself the Good Shepherd. Jesus in John 10:10 says, the thief, that's Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And one more, John 8:44. Jesus is actually speaking to the Jewish people here. When you look at all of that chapter, you know the story. He's speaking to the Jewish people here, and he says to them, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. And he begins to elaborate on what are the desires of your father. Jesus said, he, that's Satan, was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Why? Because there is no truth in him. Jesus said about Lucifer, about Satan, when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. End quote from Jesus. I establish this point for a reason this morning, friends. Because the devil is real. If we conclude from Ezekiel, and I think that it's easy to conclude that, the devil is created by God in beauty and as the rest of the angels when God created them way back when, created in perfection. He was in God's presence. He was on the mountain of God. He was beautiful in appearance. He got proud and God threw him off the mountain, so to speak. And when that happened, Satan or Lucifer or the old serpent or the father of lies or the accuser of the brethren or whatever else you want to call him has been in rebellion and war with God and everything that is God's ever since. They have been at war. We are caught up in the war. And if you, in fact, are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, part of his global church, you have an enemy. The church has an enemy. The family has an enemy. These are all institutes of God, and Satan hates God and everything of God. Remember in the New Testament, Peter described him as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Paul describes him as evil and darkness and says, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities of darkness. I'm establishing something here, so stay with me. I'm almost there to my point. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. I've established to you some scripture. In a couple of weeks, I'll probably talk more about our enemy and the subtleties and the lies and the deception and the stealing and the killing and everything else that he's in charge of. But for today, I don't have time to go to that. I want to establish something else. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. First of all, you see in Genesis 1, 1, in the beginning, God. We all know that. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. And we see in 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, Adam and Eve, male and female. He created them uniquely different from each other. Needful of each other. He called the woman a helpmate to the man. And so God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth. That's what God did in the Garden of Eden. He created male and he created female. He created them in his likeness. Matthew 19, Jesus said the same thing. When the religious leaders were challenging him on some things. Jesus answered this way. He said, and he answered and said to them, that's Jesus answering the religious leaders, have you not read that he who made them, that's God, made Adam and Eve, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife and the two shall become one flesh so that they are no longer two but one. Therefore what God has joined together let not man separate. Okay, I've established a couple things for us. We have an enemy. His native language is to lie. He's a master of confusion. God is a God of order. The enemy is a master of confusion. And I don't know about you, friends, but I'm tired of the master of confusion and the father of all lies stealing our children. I'm tired of it. I'll tell you what I mean. Jesus said he came to kill, he came to steal, and he came to destroy. What is the enemy going to destroy? He's going to make every attempt to destroy everything of God, followers of Jesus, the church, and the family, because they are institutions of God. He is here only, Jesus said, to do those things. And currently, the father of all lies is having a heyday in America and the world right now with the whole idea that someone can be born a woman and transition to a man, or someone can be born a man and transition to be a woman. Don't get mad at me and leave just yet. Let me just hear me out. I don't hate anybody. Most Christians don't hate anybody. I suppose there's a few exceptions. But that's what I will get labeled at, and that's what people get labeled at that speak up for the truth of God. But you have been lied to when we buy into this. I don't hate anybody. Just because we don't agree doesn't mean we hate. As a matter of fact, I agree there are people that struggle with these things. They're real. They struggle with these feelings because I've read endlessly in the last 3 weeks as I've researched this. These feelings are real and these struggles are real. And so I would agree that some of these people are struggling with these feelings. Am I a boy? Well, I was born a girl, but I agree those feelings are real. But friends, I'm here to tell you, feelings aren't facts. That's the difference. Stay with me while I give you a couple of experts' facts, biological and medical facts. The first one, according to Dr. Christine Vollhard, she's a German doctor, Vollhard. She was the 1995 Nobel Prize winner in physiology and medicine. She states, and I quote, "With 6,521 inconvertible genetic differences between a man and a woman, transgenderism is nonsense," end quote. That's from the 1995 Nobel Prize winner in physiology and medicine. And this quote from an article, "Every single one of the 40 trillion cells in your body has either XX or XY chromosomes. You biology people, you know this. And all the hormones, the puberty blockers and surgeries in the world will never change that. If you were born with double X or you were born with XY, that'll never be changed no matter how many surgeries we get." One last fact from an article, less than 0.1% of Americans have a real mental disorder called gender dysphoria. That is real. But the percentage of it is tiny. The quote continues, "But what we're seeing today is sudden onset gender dysphoria." What does that mean? That simply translates to this: young people especially, suddenly doubting the gender they were born with, that has seen a 4,000% increase in the last 3 years. Sudden onset gender dysphoria. Why? Because we're pushing it. We're promoting it. All these quotes come from an article I read called "The Transgender Lie." in the latest Vine of the Branches magazine. But there's so much more out there that you can research. I'll give you some things you can look at if you choose when I get towards the end. Friends, listen to me. The father of all lies is lying to you. So oftentimes we ask those that are struggling with sudden onset gender dysphoria, ask them, why? Why do you want to transition? And so oftentimes the answer is because I feel like I need to, or I don't feel like a girl, I feel like a boy, or vice versa. But I would reiterate again, friends, please hear me, feelings are not facts. When simple biology tells us every single one of the 40 trillion cells in your body has either XX or XY chromosomes, all the surgeries in the world is not going to change that. We all have feelings about some things, but biological sex and gender are not based on feelings, although that is the agenda we're trying to push today. I would actually throw this in also for your consideration when it comes to feelings. We can't trust our feelings. Jeremiah 17:9 says, you know, you've heard this verse before. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can't trust our feelings. I've read a lot of articles in the last 3 weeks. And tragically, multitudes have bought in to the lie. And I know I'll get the feedback. I'm okay with that. I don't hate anybody. I know I will get the feedback that says, well, you're not a doctor. You don't know what you're talking about. I've read a lot of doctors' opinions. And I know what the Word of God says. But what I've read over and over and over in these last 3 weeks today, there are way too many doctors. And I'm not discrediting doctors, but there's way too many doctors, way too many teachers, way too many parents, way too many professionals, way too many pastors and church leaders who buy into the feeling and immediately start promoting to our young people that they should embrace that feeling and do what they need to do to transition. That is a lie from the father of all liars. I've read so many articles of people that have been there and then detransition. There's a new word now, it's called detransitioned. But those that have done that say pills and puberty blockers, they're prescribed to me after one visit. I went one time looking for help, and that's what happened. I get prescribed hormones and pills and puberty blockers and start talking about transitioning from the biological sex you were born in to the one you think you should be. We're lying to them. But way too many people have bought into that lie. I was listening to a testimony before Congress. Her name is Chloe Cole. I was listening to her testimony the other day. Chloe is a young lady that got told earlier on, well, you need to transition. If you think you're a boy, you need to transition. And here's how we do it. And they guide her all the way through the process. And she gets down the path a ways, and she realizes the mistake she has made. And she's angry about that because she wanted help up front. She didn't want surgeries. But she went with the flow. Chloe Cole was before Congress last week or two. And her opening statement says this, and I quote, one of the biggest medical scandals in American history is this idea of transgenderism, and I hope, she said, you will do something about it, she said to the politicians in Washington. Surgeries are happening at alarming rates. many of them with irreversible consequences. Too many doctors, as I mentioned, or not all, but too many are promoting this and going through with these radical transition surgeries with an argument. Well, if you don't, they'll probably commit suicide. That argument has been used in this community. That argument has been used around the North American borders. That's the argument that they'll throw on you as parents. Well, if you don't, this will be the result. Many articles, I've read them, of people that have went through that journey, transition, then detransition. Many articles are now pointing of people who are suing doctors and institutions over pushing that agenda to transition rather than help them with their struggles. Many, many are the conversation and the articles of people wishing that someone would have helped them in their feelings, in that turmoil that's going on with them. Many are only wishing somebody would have helped them and not pushed an agenda on them so fast. Our young people need to be loved. And they need to hear the truth about biology, and they need to hear the truth biblically. Our children need to be prayed for and encouraged in their birth sex and given biblical Christian counsel. They don't need puberty blockers, hormones, and surgery. That is a lie from the father of all lies, and we as a nation have bought into it. We push and we push and we promote and we celebrate, and then in so many cases, it all just ends up disastrous anyway. I've read articles about so many young ladies who aren't happy with a certain time in their life and with the changes that are going on in their bodies, and they're confused with thinking, I don't even want to be a girl, and I don't even like what's happening, and tragically over and over and over them, they're simply told then change to be a boy. Friends, biologically, there's no changing. All the surgeries in the world, there's no changing. No matter how much we pretend, and no matter how many surgeries we've had, this is why our children need prayer. We need to love them, encourage them in the biological sex they were born in, and when there are struggles, we need to come alongside them and nurture them and pray for them and pray over them and show them scripturally, show them biologically this. You are made in the image of God as you were born. That's what we need to do for our children, not confuse them with, yeah, go get some surgeries. I've watched way too many hearings in Capitol Hill. And it's madness to me to watch a political conversation when politicians are asking so-called experts to define a woman, and they cannot and will not simply define what is a woman. This is madness. We have lost our mind. According to healthpartners.com, 7 in 10, you can look this up too, as I have, healthpartners.com, 7 in 10 youth thinking about transition are suffering with depression. There's underlying circumstances here. That's what they need help with. They need help. They need encouragement. They need prayer. They don't need puberty blockers and surgeries. That's why I started with John 14:6, and I'll end with this. Our nation, our kids, our churches, people that seem to be healthy and people that seem to be struggling, we need Jesus. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. We need Jesus, the father of all lies. Jesus, that's what Jesus called the devil. The father of all lies is a master of confusion. We need Jesus. We need the Prince of Peace to help us when we're struggling. We need the Lamb of God. We need the living water. We need the bread of life. We need the healer. We need the great I am. That's what we need. We need Jesus. We need to know the truth of Jesus and stop buying into the lies of the father of all lies. Hurting and confused and struggling people don't need to be beat over the head with the Word of God. They don't need to be chastened. They don't need to be rebuked. They need to be invited and pointed to Jesus. That's what they need. That's what we need. Praise team, let's get ready to sing the closing song. I want to say this again, friends, even though I will probably be labeled homophobe, transphobe, hate monger. I don't know what all I'll be labeled, but I want to say again, I don't hate anybody. I want people to know the truth of Jesus. If you want to do some more research, look at Chloe Cole's testimony on Capitol Hill. Listen to what she said. If you want to know another family struggle, go to the document called Groomed. It's a new document. It's by a mother that after she learned of her child that wanted to transition, she started to watch what the child was watching online, and she made this documentary called Groomed. Why? Because there's an intentionality for your children. You can watch that too. Or if you like to read, you can look up Heritage Foundation. There's all kinds of articles there about people that have went through the process and detransitioned. They're angry. They wish somebody would have told them in the beginning and helped them with their struggles in the beginning. Or you can go to another webpage called Return to Order. There's more there. There's a lot of proof out there, friends. This is a lie. Do the research. Don't take my word for it. Read what God says. I knew you in your mother's womb. I will stand before God someday, friends. And I will be accountable to God that I at least attempt to proclaim His truth, or did I just let the liar of all liars bamboozle our kids? You will stand before God too. You say, Jim, I don't even believe that. Well, you will then. You will then. You will stand before God someday. And you will give an account. What did you do with the truth of Jesus? Do you know Him? Have you trusted Him? Have you given your life to Him? When we sing this song again, Sherry will read. Sherry up here? Yeah. Sherry will read that verse from Matthew. That's an invitation from Jesus when you're struggling. When He says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. And then what's He say? I'll give you rest. We're not going to find any peace in this world. We're not going to find any rest following the lies of the devil. We're only going to find peace and rest and hope in Jesus. And it's, if you don't know anything about Jesus, friends, it's time to call upon Him by faith and trust Him as Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor or are weary and heavy laden, He said, and I'll give you rest. The father of all lies is lying to us, friends. We need to stop buying into the father of all lies and his ploys and start understanding what God has. He's got a better way for you and I and our children. There's a lot of doctors out there that are still trying to promote the truth. There's a lot of teachers, there's a lot of parents, there's a lot of church people. But unfortunately, there are so many that have bought into the lies of the enemy. We need to pray for our young people. We need to pray for those caught up in the struggle. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have given to us truth. Your word, Jesus said, is truth. Jesus also said, I am the truth. Thank you, Lord, we have your word. Unfortunately, we live in a time and a society when we really don't want to accept that word because we would rather do what's right in our own eyes. Forgive us for that and help us to ponder, dwell on, dig deep into your truth. I want to pray especially, Father, for those that are caught up in the struggle right now and their families. I want to pray in the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus and the healing, transforming, merciful power of Jesus that you would give them eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that understands the truth. I pray, Father, you would help us in the church to be understanding, patient, gracious, loving, forgiving, and truthful. Go with us this day into this week. We do pray again for Casey and everyone else that is sick. Lay your hand of healing upon them. Lay your hand, Father, of truthfulness on those that are caught up in some kind of confusion, any kind. Guide and direct us to a closeness to you, O God. I pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.